The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So Donald Trump is in Britain. The crowds protesting in the streets of London are absolutely enormous this afternoon. It may not even be true, it may be fake news, but it would be a good joke to tell Donald Trump that there's a bigger crowd there than attended his inauguration in Washington last year. My favourite picture from the event is the guy carrying a banner which says, "We shall overcome." We're joined by Nick Ferrari and Cal Thomas today to talk about the visit of Donald Trump to Britain. And I think, Nick, an awful lot of attention been paid to an extraordinary interview that Donald Trump gave to the Sun newspaper, which it ran from his front page onwards today. For those who haven't seen it, what was in that interview and why was it so extraordinary?
Never seen an interview like it, not let alone with a US president. I think fair to say with any world leader, a tremendous coup for the Sun. Reminder to your listeners, of course, proprietor one Rupert Murdoch, quite close to Donald Trump and, of course, also in charge of Fox News, Mr. Trump's, or President Trump, my apologies, favorite TV stations. And it goes, and you're a newspaper man, across one, two, three, I'm turning it now, four, five, six, seven, eight pages of, and it is genuinely a world exclusive. So we woke up this morning with this interview, as I say, in that newspaper. Mrs. May has wrecked Brexit. If she's going with the deal, is out of checkers. Any deal with trade deal with the US is off. President Trump told May how to do Brexit, but she wouldn't listen. Boris Johnson, the recently departed Foreign Secretary, would probably make a better Prime Minister. And then on other matters regarding the NHS, some hospitals in London, the walls are dripping with blood. The whole dynamic of Britain and Europe has changed. It's, quote, lost its culture because there's too immigration. And then a little sideswipe. London Mayor Sadiq Khan, the man who is sanctioned, mind you, didn't produce, but sanctioned the flying of a 30-foot blimp of Trump, depicted as an angry orange baby. He's doing a terrible job. He's let too many immigrants in, brackets, he has nothing to do with that, and they've inspired terrorism. It was an extraordinarily piece. No, nothing like it ever seen from a US president, or I would argue, Matt, a world leader before.
But Theresa May, we were in our rights to have cancelled our meeting with him today.
Well, when I interviewed Sir Alan Duncan, who was Boris Johnson's deputy, my first question is, what time did President Trump leave the dinner last night at Blenheim Palace? About 11 o'clock at night, he replied. Well, by then, the first editions, as you know, newspapers had definitely been up. Was there a lot of whispering? Pause from Sir Alan. Yes, there probably was. It was starting to spread across the room what he said. But now we move on in this incredible, well, it's not even 24 hours here. In Trump world, we now go to Chequers. Remember, that was the place that produced the accord or the agreement that he so comprehensively rubbished in an interview with The Sun, done it in Brussels on Wednesday. But now, in fact, the deal is great. He's happy with it. Whatever the UK did with this deal, it's okay with me. She, Theresa May, is doing a fantastic job. I'd rather have a friend. It is, now work this out, they have the highest level of special friendship. What on earth does that mean? And, yeah, thank you. And by the way, new word here, he agrees with a collegial way of negotiating. I always learned at school collegiate, but now the president makes up his own words, apparently.
Okay.
And by the way, that interview that featured so prominently, no. That was almost fake news, quote, it's called fake news, but we have our own recording. The Sun newspaper says, well, we have our own recording as well. And jokingly, they said, if he says that's fake news, well, .. That's fake news. And round it goes. These are incredible times.
Let's hear some of the press conference in Chequers today, held out in the lawn in the bright sunshine. It was after 2 o'clock. I was watching it. It was extraordinary. We have some clips. First of all, let's hear what he had to say about that interview with The Sun.
As I didn't criticise the Prime Minister, I have a lot of respect for the Prime Minister. And unfortunately, there was a story that was done, which was, you know, generally fine, but it didn't put in what I said about the Prime Minister, and I said tremendous things. And fortunately, we tend to record stories now, so we have it for your enjoyment if you'd like it. But we record when we deal with reporters. It's called fake news. You know, we solve a lot of problems with the good old recording instrument.
Of course, on page two of The Sun, the compliments about Theresa May are printed. Let's hear what he had to say about Boris Johnson.
They asked about Boris Johnson. I said, yeah, how would he be as a prime minister? I said, he'll be a great prime minister. He's been very nice to me. He's been saying very good things about me as president. I think he thinks I'm doing a great job. I am doing a great job, that I can tell you, just in case you haven't noticed. But Boris Johnson, I think, would be a great prime minister. I also said that this incredible woman right here is doing a fantastic job, a great job. And I mean that. And I must say that I have gotten to know Theresa May much better over the last 2 days than I've known her over the last year and a half. I mean, we've spent more time in the last 2 days. Yesterday I had breakfast, lunch, and dinner with her. Then I said, what are we doing tomorrow, which is today? Oh, you're having breakfast and lunch with Theresa May. And I'm going to see you later on again. So, but I've actually gotten to know her better than ever. And I think she's a terrific woman. I think she's doing a terrific job. And that Brexit is a very tough situation. That's a tough deal between the borders and the entries into the countries and all of the things. So she's going to do the best. The only thing I ask is that she work it out so that we can have very even trade.
Melania might have seen less of Donald Trump over the last year than he's seen of Theresa May over the last couple of days. Let's hear what he had to say when he was asked about what advice he has allegedly given to Theresa May about Brexit.
So I would say I give our relationship in terms of grade the highest level of special. So we start off with special. I would give our relationship with the UK, and now, especially after this 2 days, with your prime minister, I would say the highest level of special. Now, am I allowed to go higher than that? I'm not sure. But it's the highest level of special. They're very special people. It's a very special country. And as I said, I have a relationship because my mother was born in Scotland. So very important. As far as the advice, I did give her a suggestion. I wouldn't say advice. And I think she found it maybe too brutal. And that's so too, because I could see that. But I don't know if you remember what I said. But I did give her a certain amount of, I gave her a suggestion, not advice. I wouldn't want to give her advice. I'd give her a suggestion. I could fully understand why she thought it was a little bit tough. And maybe at some day she'll do that. If they don't make the right deal, she might very well do what I suggested that she might want to do.
Nick, stay there. I want to bring in Cal Thomas, our weekly American correspondent. Cal, how proud are you of the performance your president is putting on for us all in Britain?
Before I get to that, I'm just watching the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, who has announced 12 Russian intelligence officers have been indicted for hacking into the Democratic National Committee during the 2016 election. This is extremely important. Just 3 days before President Trump meets with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki, thought your listeners might want to know about that.
That
it's on
is
right now live.
Important news that could have very big significance. Okay, but before
indeed,
we maybe get
yes,
back
now
to
let
that,
me get to your other, let me get to your other question.
What
Look,
do you
Trump
think of
Trump?
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to change. I mean, obviously, when he says we have recordings of the interview, so did the Sun. They're not idiots. I mean, I record all of my interviews with everybody. So he is what he is. He's not going to change. And as for these 250,000 demonstrators in the city of London, I think it's very clear from their chants and from their signs that they are left-wingers. One of them is praising Venezuela, where you can't even get toilet paper right now. You've got the labor unions out there. They're praising preserving Palestine. They don't call it Israel anymore. This is a left-wing demonstration and crowd. Look, Trump is not going to change. He is who he is, and I might point out to you, Matt, and I think I've mentioned this once before, that his approval ratings are exactly at the same level of President Obama 16 months into his first term as president. So that's all that really matters, the approval ratings of the United States and the fact that he's president and Hillary Clinton isn't.
Yeah, but is it appropriate for him to behave in the way that he has been behaving? Just saying that Trump is Trump, this is the way he goes on. Is this the way you want the United States of America to be represented? When your president goes overseas, that he starts giving interviews like this, which are, would seem at the minimum, insulting to his hosts?
No, I don't. I mean, we've talked about this before on the program in our regular slot on Tuesday with Marion and myself. But look, if you have somebody at your dinner table who is the host of your dinner and he has bad table manners, you're more interested in the quality of food and whether it has salmonella poisoning in it or you can eat it. Look, Trump has got bad diplomatic table manners. Everybody agrees with that. But the point is, he is actually accomplishing things. Confronted these European leaders with the lack or their minimal contribution to NATO and their own defense, which is something other presidents have failed to do. The United States has been carrying the financial ball with NATO and with the United Nations for years, and people are sick of it. And they're saying, look, you guys need to pony up too. You've got strong economies. Do I like the way he's going about it? No. Is he getting the job done? Yes. I'll take the latter.
Not necessarily, because there's all sorts of disputes as to what he actually has achieved in relation to NATO. We might get back to that when you're with us on Tuesday evening. evening. But Nick Ferrari, what Cal there says about it, is it all left-wingers out demonstrating in London, or is there a greater mood amongst the greater population that perhaps this is just not an acceptable way for the visiting head of the United States to behave when in your country?
Well, Matt, Carl, if I can ask you to pause, I've just got to put in a fresh tape before I go on, as we're all taping all our interviews now. Now, listen, Carl is absolute. Listen, never has there been a demonstration of this size against a US president. Indeed, I have to be candid. Even the leader of China can come here. Ceausescu some years ago. Mugabe, they can come here and they don't get the same turnout. Do you think they're all motivated? Do you think they all have knowledge of what Donald Trump is about? No. Absolutely right. I actually walked through some of that demonstration earlier today because I had an appointment quite near it, and there was everything. There was a Free Palestine demonstration, there was LGBT demonstrations, there were all sorts of demonstrations. So you're absolutely right. They've come together as one collegiate, a mass, you could describe it as, to demonstrate. I think Carl's saying 250, that's quite toppy, respectfully, Carl. I mean, the London police are saying around 70, the demonstrators are saying around 150. Should we take it in the middle? It's probably 100 plus. It's big, but it's not a quarter of a million. And there's no way, if you actually stopped, and I'm not going to do it even for you, Matt, if you actually stopped them and quizzed about the president's policies, many wouldn't have a clue.
Okay, but I mean, we just say it's bigger than the words at the Trump inauguration in Washington. That might be fake, but let's wind up Donald Trump with it.
What I want to know, he's very free with his advice for Mrs. May. Has he told Gareth Southgate how to win the third place playoff tomorrow? That is, in the World Cup, that's the big one.
Actually, but let's hear a little bit more of Trump. This is actually from the Sun interview, in which he claimed that Theresa May had ignored his advice on Brexit.
I did give Theresa, who I like, I did give her my views on what she should do and how she should negotiate. Mm-hmm. And she didn't follow those views. I would actually say she probably went the opposite way. Mm. If you really look, she probably went the opposite way. That's fine. You know, she should negotiate the best way she knows how. But it's too bad what's going on.
She didn't write the art of the deal. Before I go back to you, Cal, Nick, what is interesting about that, though, is because Theresa May has a very delicate balancing act that she's trying to perform at the moment to try and maintain her own position in the British government, get things through the House of Commons, but also negotiate with the European Union in relation to the white paper she's bringing forward, the negotiating the Brexit strategy. It's made more difficult for her if Donald Trump is saying, well, if you do the deal you're proposing, I won't do a trade deal with you. Now, he's up and down about that as well, isn't he? But that is very significant to a hard Brexit.
Hugely. Delicate balancing. This woman is on a tight wire over Niagara Falls and the water is full of piranhas. That is what she faces. And as that has gone on, the Conservative rebels are circling. I just remind you, I think we might have discussed this yesterday, when it comes to the key vote next week, if she cannot count on Labour support, she needs just six Conservative Brexiteers to vote down this plan, and all the work she's put in, the Chequers Accord, or whatever you want to call it, is nothing more than a pile of dust. That is the problem she faces. So while this has been an entertaining and extraordinary spectacle on the side, watching Donald Trump and the fleet of helicopters and doing it as only Americans can, which is bigger than Texas, and good luck to them, actually, in the engine room of Westminster, she faces problems that are as big as you can imagine.
Let's also hear a little bit, and Cal, I'd be very interested in your take on this, because we know how he reacts towards the media in the United States. But at the press conference today, this is how he refused to answer questions from CNN's Jim Acosta.
Mr. President, since you attacked CNN, can I ask you a question?
John Roberts, go ahead, John.
Can I ask you a question?
No. John Roberts, go ahead. CNN's fake news. I don't take questions. I don't take questions from CNN. CNN is fake news. I don't take questions from CNN. John Roberts of Fox. Let's go to a real network. John, let's go.
Well, we're a real network too, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Okay, Cal Thomas, you know, whatever he might think of a particular network, that's the type of thing dictators, authoritarian leaders do. How worrying is it to you that an American president would treat an entire network like that?
Well, look, Jim Acosta has a confrontational, and more than confrontational, there's nothing wrong with being confrontational as a reporter. Reporters, journalists are supposed to hold their leaders accountable. I'm fine with that. When I was a reporter, I did the same thing. And I've been to some of those news conferences at the White House, and not everybody gets called on. The president calls on whoever he wants to call on. And President Obama, President Clinton, many times called on journalists who were more favorable to him. There was one favorite that he had on the CBS program 60 Minutes, who he interviewed with more than anybody else, President Obama, that is. So, but you know, I'm not into name calling. I don't like calling people names. I don't think it achieves anything. It may rile up the base as it does in some of his rallies. But look, I've been a journalist for almost 50 years, and I love my profession. I know people who are liberal and conservative and moderate, and extraordinary people like you, Matt, who know so much about so many things and are wrong most of the time. But I love you anyway, and I have great respect for them, and they're my colleagues, and I don't like it when they're called names like that.
Okay, I got to you, Nick, on this. Is there a possibility Theresa missed a trick here, that she could have struck a subtle blow for press freedom by inviting a question from CNN when Trump wouldn't take one?
I think Mrs. May was so riven with nerves. If you look at the start of that press conference, they've held hands so much, but they're holding hands as they make their way through the Garden of Checkers and then down some steps. She was the steadying hand then. She needed the steadying hand of Donald Trump once the questions started firing. She needed to hear that. You're an incredible woman. She's doing a great deal. It's a tough job, but as long as it's a deal that the U.S. comes in, that's what she needed. Anything that could have deep six, anything that could have caused problems with that, she's not going to go near that. And I have to say, actually, it's probably not a British Prime Minister's form to do that. And I respect Carl enormously. I think I'm about 10 years behind him at working in this great sphere of journalism. And I find it quite entertaining, actually, that the President decides not to talk to CNN. It must be driving the Washington Press Corps absolutely nuts that this guy effectively gets his message out via Twitter or the journalists he likes. Hey, it's not a crime. And if people don't like it, guess what? There's an election in a few years and they can let him know then.
Thank you very much, Nick Ferrari and Cal Thomas, for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM. But before we finish with Donald Trump, we've decided to play for you 2.5 minutes of the press conference he gave yesterday in Brussels, in which he spoke about Brexit. Here he is, the stable genius at work.
Brexit is, I've been reading a lot about Brexit over the last couple of days, and it seems to be turning a little bit differently, where they're getting at least partially involved back with the European Union. I have no message. It's not for me to say. I own a lot of property there. I'm going to Scotland while I wait for the meeting. I have Turnberry in Scotland, which is a magical place, one of my favorite places. I'm going there for 2 days while I wait for the Monday meeting. But it's not for me to say what they should be doing in the UK. I have great friendships. My mother was born in Scotland. I have great friendships over there. We have a wonderful ambassador, Woody Johnson. And he's doing it. By the way, Woody's doing a great job. But it's not for me to say. I'd like to see him be able to work it out so it could go quickly, whatever they work out. Is it heartbreaking? Oh, hard Brexit, I said.
Nothing about Iraq.
I thought you said it was heartbreaking.
About Iraq.
I said, that might be going a little bit too far, right? Heartbreaking. Is it heartbreaking? A lot of things are heartbreaking. No, I would say that, you know, Brexit is Brexit. It's not like, I guess when you use the term hard Brexit, I assume that's what you mean. The people voted to break it up. So I would imagine that's what they'll do, but maybe they're taking a little bit of a different route. So I don't know if that's what they voted for. I just want the people to be happy. They're great people. And I do think there'll be protests, because there are always protests. But I think there were protests the night of the election both ways. But in the end, we got 306 electoral votes. And one state that, you know, is interesting, one of the states we won, Wisconsin. I didn't even realize this until fairly recently. That was the one state that Ronald Reagan didn't win when he ran the board his second time. He didn't win Wisconsin, and we won Wisconsin. So, you know, we had a great night. Protests, there might be protests, but I believe that the people in the UK Scotland, Ireland. As you know, I have property in Ireland. I have property all over. I think that those people, they like me a lot. And they agree with me on immigration. And I think that's why you have Brexit in the first place.
Okay, we're not going to fact check all of that because quite clearly we're not part of the United Kingdom, as he seemed to imply. But just on one thing, Ronald Reagan did win Wisconsin in 1984 in the presidential election.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.